Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
New developments in the case of Amanda Knox.
She was convicted of stabbing her British roommate to death 4 years ago.
A kitchen knife, the prosecution claims, has Knox's DNA on the handle.
Was she on drugs the night of this murder?
And this is like a Manson murder throughout Europe. They're fixated on the case.
There are some holes in the prosecution's case in this now.
We've always known that Amanda is innocent.
With much of the evidence in doubt now, there's mounting pressure to set Amanda Knox free.
After years of rabid tabloid coverage, Nancy Grace investigations, 4 years in jail for a young American exchange student, the case against Amanda Knox ended yesterday when an appeals court judge announced, quite simply, she and her former boyfriend were being freed because they hadn't committed the crime. Joining us now, journalist Nina Burley. She's a contributing editor at Salon.com and Elle magazine and author of five books, including the latest, The Fatal Gift of Beauty, The Italian Trials of Amanda Knox. Good morning, Nina.
Good morning.
You know, the title of your book points to your point of view, which is that you feel as though Amanda Knox was tried more for her looks and her nationality, actually, than for the evidence that the Italian police had. Why do you say that?
Well, it was, you know, I went over there in 2009 while the trial was going on. I left the United States having read about it. And I thought that she was probably guilty as charged. And about a month into it, I began to realize that almost everything I'd been reading about the case was not backed up, either by the authorities or by the records that I was looking at. And as the months went by, and I interviewed more and more people and read more and more documents, really trying to find some bit of evidence that could convince me that what was being reported was actually true, I couldn't find it. And as we got to the end of the trial, it was appalling because people continued to, it was like the emperor's new clothes with the media. They continued to present this, you know, what you've just described, the Manson-esque kind of scenario, of this American, you know, pretty girl turning into a psychopath overnight and bewitching two boyfriends into murdering her roommate. And there was nothing to back it up, but it kept being repeated because you can't explain kind of what was going on there in a 30-second soundbite. I mean, the crime itself is really simple. It's a robbery gone wrong, I think. And the police and the prosecutor were hasty in making a decision because it's a student town. They needed to have the crime solved, and they had this odd, pretty young woman in front of them, trotting into the police station 4 or 5 days in a row after the murder without a lawyer. No other person there went into the police station without a lawyer. And on the fifth night, they interrogated her and threw her in prison.
Well, let's talk about what's left many people in the U.S. kind of scratching their heads, I guess. How could we get two such different views of Italian justice? In your case, there was a miscarriage of justice, the original conviction. The refusal of bail, the way she was handled by the police and kept in jail. But then we have a great deal of praise for the Italian courts at this moment, allowing for an immediate appeal, allowing for a fresh look at the evidence. What are we not understanding here about the legal system in Italy?
Well, it is different than ours. And certainly at the first level, it's not as lenient towards defendants, let's say, as ours is. They don't, you know, you can be thrown in jail as a suspect for a year without being charged. At the trial level, the judge and the prosecutor are kind of aligned with each other. They can have ex parte conversations. For example, I used to see the prosecutor and the judge together all the time in this little town. And that is an inquisitorial system. It's not like our system. It's stacked against the defendant at the trial level. Defense lawyers would say, you know, theoretically it looks like an American system, but it's theoretical. Everything here is theoretical. So, for example, the defense lawyers were not given exculpatory evidence by the prosecutor. And so on the trial level, it's really the deck is stacked. But the appeal, instead, the way the appeals work in this country, you can't reopen factual matters. In Italy, everything's on the table. So they reopened the entire case at the appeal level. They took the evidence. They looked again at the witnesses. They found that some of these witnesses were sort of serial witnesses, that they were, you know, habitual liars, heroin addicts. They were discredited completely, which were things that we who were covering the case then knew at the trial level, and that's what was so appalling about watching the trial end the way it did. And also the DNA, this huge problem with the DNA.
On the knife.
It didn't exist on the knife in this so-called bra clasp DNA that linked the boyfriend to the room, because, see, they had to have both of them linked to the room. Both of these things were problematic, hugely problematic. This was all known during the trial to everyone who was paying attention, and yet the jury rubber-stamped a conviction.
All right, we're speaking with Nina Burley. She's contributing editor at Salon.com and Elle magazine and author of the latest book, The Fatal Gift of Beauty, The Italian Trials of Amanda Knox. The thing that I wanted you to explain a little further, though, is what you describe as a misogynistic trial here, that basically it was her gender that, in a way, was on trial, and the comparisons that have been made with the Salem witch trials, that she was railroaded into a murder conviction. It feels a little overly dramatic to me.
I have to tell you that it was like watching an opera. I can't describe it in an overly dramatic way, because it really was overly dramatic. It was unbelievable. But to that issue, yes. The problem with the way the case was covered in a way that was, everyone focused on the pretty girl, from the prosecutor to the reporters. This is a phenomenon that we see here in this country. We are much more interested in the occasional allegedly evil female than we are with the run-of-the-mill, mundane, domestically violent, sexually aggressive rapist. You do not see those domestically violent men perp walked on Nancy Grace night after night the way you will see some young woman like the Casey Anthony case or the Amanda Knox who's accused of something. This is part of our media culture. It's part of our culture in general. But in this case, it was taken even further because there was superstition in Italy that was blended in. She looks exactly like the town Madonna. The prosecutor is a very superstitious guy, and he was just, her femaleness was part of this, very much so.
Nina Burley is a contributing editor at Salon.com and Elle magazine, author of 5 books. The latest is called The Fatal Gift of Beauty, The Italian Trials of Amanda Knox. Nina, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Give us your thoughts if this is the case that you've been following. Tell us what you think about the overturn of the murder conviction. Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Or you can always post your comment at Facebook.com/TheTakeaway.